I was born bold.
Get a Rockstar car park just 2 minutes from the terminal at Melbourne Airport's new short and sweet parking zone. Struggling with back pain? Time to try Kieser. Visit kieser.com.au. Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
All right, good morning, everyone. Welcome. It is Tuesday, the 18th of February. Great to have you from McCafe, our official coffee partner today. Gary Peart's going to come into the studio. Back page of The Age today, Demons Plan Flag by 2023. Always provocative when these big strategic plans are released. Remember, Richmond did it, and we all raised our eyebrows, but they delivered big time. We'll find out what Gary Peart's got in store for the Demons. Wispy's old mate Paul Vanderhaar, we're going to talk Holdens and great Holden memories. He tells me that he used to have a panel van, so we're going to speak to Vander. Pickers is going to join us, as he always does on Tuesday. And with the State of Origin squads being announced today, Tim's picked his ally, All-Stars team. I've picked my Victorian team, and you can pick all over that and add or subtract or take us to task. So all of that, you can join us, 1-300-736-736. Send a text to the Speckle text, 0433-98-1116. Good morning to you, Tim.
Good morning, Gary. I'll give you 10 goals start.
Oh, turn it up.
I'll give you 10 goals start. I picked my team yesterday. Honestly, it is unbelievable. They've got all the players in the competition to pick from that aren't Victorian-based.
Okay. You're going to give the Victorian team a 10-goal start.
I'll give your Victorian
team a 10. We'll beat you by 15. We'll beat you by 15.
Honestly, I've got the most unbelievable midfield at my disposal.
Well, come on, bring it on then.
No, not now.
I can't wait to take you on head-to-head.
That's not confected either. That's a statement of fact.
What's not confected?
That discussion we just had then is not confected.
You've got a great midfield.
I got the most unbelievable midfield.
Oh, well, I've got hacks running around with my midfield.
No, you've got a good midfield.
No, I've got a great midfield.
No, you've got a nice midfield.
I've got full of superstars.
What about the front page headline in the Herald Sun today? Rust in peace, Holden. Anger as Aussie icon acts. 600 people lost their job yesterday.
That's not the front page. It says end of the line.
And end of the line. That's right, at the bottom of that.
No but more above Holden.
That, no more Holden. That, yeah. Are you a Holden? And that's why, As soon as I heard this news yesterday, and I thought, we'll talk about this in the morning, because a lot of people love their Holden cars and grew up with the Holden in the garage, or discussion of Holden panel vans or other Holden-type cars and that type of thing. But Vander, for me, is where my mind went to immediately, because when he started back in 1977, he rolled into the Essendon Windy Hill car park in a very, very nice blue Holden
Panel van,
yeah.
Sandman?
No, it wasn't a Sandman, because I thought it was, and then I spoke to him yesterday. He'll come on and tell the story about it a little bit later, but how he pieced it together is a story in itself.
Well, you're either one or the other, really, in the old days.
Well, you were Ford.
Well, Panch had the Ford dealerships, so they were the arch enemy, the rival.
What do you got in your garage at home? I want to know your Holden stories this morning. Okay. Everyone, so many people out there will be saddened by what took place yesterday, because they've got an affinity with a Holden car.
The brand's been 160 years old.
That's right.
I didn't know any of this. I'm reading this morning. It started as a saddlery business.
Yes. You know, in Dimboola, growing up, there was the Ford dealership in the main street, and then there was the Holden dealership in the main street.
Well, you had a Ford Holden dealership in Dimboola.
Opposite ends of the street. You couldn't get the two of them too close together, right? Mm-hmm. And then they put up the newspaper on the windows when they're bringing out a new model down at Westerfield Motors. Yeah. And they had to send you down there, because my dad was a Holden man.
Was he?
And he just wanted to know, you know, when's the car arriving, and they might invite you as a family down there to the unveiling of the new car.
Did he buy a new one?
Yeah, he bought. We had the Premier. Yeah, when the Premier came out, the Holden Premier.
Yeah, my word, that was very luxury.
Oh, hey, but it got better.
Toff.
A Monaro, Dad.
Did he? Jeez.
He loved his cars.
That's unbelievable.
It was a blue Monaro, and did it sound magnificent just warming up in the driveway.
All right, what did you have? What can you remember your first car? Because my father owned a Ford dealership. He used to bring home, because he just drove whatever he wanted and then would sell it and then bring home another new one.
Yeah.
So LTDs and Fairlanes for Pant. I don't know what were the...
Well,
Holden Statesman was the equivalent?
My dad always wanted the Statesman. So my uncle out on the farm, mm-hmm. Uncle Harold, he had a Statesman.
Doing well out on the farm.
He was.
Old H.
He was doing really well. He used to round the sheep up sometimes in his Statesman.
Mm-hmm.
And one day he put one of his dogs in the boot after they'd finished sort of round. He forgot about it.
Yeah, Scott off the speckled text reckons Robert Shaw had a Sandman.
He had a van. Yeah, he did.
A Sandman?
Did he have a Sandman? Maybe he did.
But some of our young audience won't know what we're talking about. So this is a panel van that used to have Sandman written across the back of it.
Yeah. And if it's rocking, don't bother knocking.
Oh, Tim, come on.
Some of those had that.
So the curtains.
Written on it, yeah. Kenny Mansfield, he had a little Holden that he'd done up. Magnificent Holden. I can't remember. It might have been a HQ Holden something that he had. He turned up to training, had a flat battery. I had a flat battery one night, and he kindly parked his car in front of mine so I could jump start my car. And I put it into drive instead of reverse, and I rammed it.
Hey, what's going to happen with the racing cars?
Disaster.
Bathurst and all that sort of stuff.
It's going to be a disaster.
So there won't be the rivalry.
There won't be, unless they find another manufacturer out there.
Well, Nissan are in it.
Yeah, but it's not the same. Like, the Nissan Ford rivalry is never going to come anywhere near the Holden Ford rivalry that's been established over the years.
My dad owns the famous XAGT named the Mothball. All those driving European vehicles that are blamed for the Holden and Ford demise.
Right.
Well, it's getting cheaper to manufacture overseas. That's the reason, isn't it?
Can you remember the Tirana XU1s and all that sort of stuff?
Yeah.
They're like collector's items now.
Peter Brock driving the Tirana at Bathurst. Mm. That used to be the big game.
Yeah. Well, both my brothers had XU1s. Larry had a red XU1, and Mark, my oldest brother, had a yellow XU1. Had they kept them, my brother was telling me the other day, had they kept them, and they had... And they would if they had still maintained the original parts.
Mm.
I think he said they're over like $100,000 now.
That's extraordinary. First car was an HG Wagon. Mattress curtains are fantastic to go to sleep in at the drive-in. Yes, very nicely done. Very nicely done. Hey, yeah, we'll move on, but keep sending your memories through of your cars, first cars, your Holdens. We're paying tribute to Holden today. End of the Lion screens the front pages of the paper. I'm angry. The PM on Holden.
Mm. Well, you know why, though.
You'll be angry all you like.
Yeah, but we've subsidised them as a country. We subsidised them to the tune of about $2.1 billion.
Holden?
Yeah, over the years, so that they would maintain a presence here in Australia. That's why the government's dirty. And, you know, you don't forget in all this, too, there are people going to lose their jobs, like over 600 people on top of those that have already lost their jobs working for Holden. So,
of course.
It's a sad, sad day for a lot of people.
Wisp and Gaz, my old man, is a limited edition LEHX 1976 Monaro. The saddest day for him yesterday.
It would have been.
Lee. Well, it would be, but you got to hang on to it, Lee, and that'll be worth more as the time goes by. Hey, we'll move on. Did you watch the NBA All-Star yesterday?
I watched the early part of it, and it was like a procession, and then it warmed right up. A bloke at work was telling me yesterday, Macca at work was telling me yesterday, it was unbelievable.
The last quarter
was unbelievable.
You and I both missed the best part.
So it was the first turn, it was the first side to get to 157. They were both on 133 at the end of quarters.
So Giannis' team's led 133 to 124 so after three quarters.
That's right. So they added Kobe's 24 number to the total.
Top score, which was 133. That's how they got 157. So I tell you, Ben Simmons... I know nothing about basketball. I like watching it a bit. But Ben Simmons came off he started on the bench, and then LeBron and all the big guns started. Then he came on. He lit the joint up.
Mm, he did.
I know it's all Mickey Mouse stuff early. And the last quarter must have been great, but there was all...
He didn't look out of place out there, though, did he?
Oh, alley-oops, and he's quick. His passing was unbelievable. So it was good. It was good fun. It's good fun to watch. But did they get, like, play for keeps in the last quarter?
In the end, they did. And that's when... And that leads me to a question I wanted to ask you this morning, actually. Mm. This Victorian All-Stars game, do you think they're going to play for keeps?
That is a good question. What do you want to see from them?
You want to see that, though, don't you? Like, in all that, you want to see the best against the best having a crack.
You sort of do and you sort of don't, because you don't want your bloke injured.
Well, therein lies another question. If you're a Richmond fan, you're going to have six players playing in this game,
Giants,
and other teams will too.
Yep.
Are you happy about that? with six of your players playing in a game like this? Because they're going to be playing in a practice game anyway, somewhere.
Pick this team as we did, you know, last night. I was sitting there and then I was lying in bed and I'm thinking, all this talk about State of Origin over the last 20 years, right? Mm. Oh, it's never going to happen because we can't find a hole or a place for it, and B, the players won't support it.
Mm.
Yet the anticipation for this match and the want, the want from the players to play is off the charts, Wisp. So what's that say to all the doomsayers for the last 25 years, of which I had to come around and concede that it wasn't going to happen?
Okay, I think you have to separate it, though. Is the want because there's a cause attached to this?
No,
as
I
well?
Think the cause is the vehicle to get this up and make it okay for you to put your hand up and desperately say you want to play, which you probably wanted to do previously, but you weren't able to because the clubs were leaning on you.
Yeah, maybe.
That's what I think.
Yeah, well, let's wait and see what happens after this year.
There's
an enormous amount of excitement in it this year.
But the players, Tim,
would they commit to it again, though, if it wasn't for a cause?
Well, as always, it starts at the top. So when we see Dustin Martin yesterday on the front part, what about this? I picked my side yesterday. I had him as my first pick, right? So I put him up the top corner to get to it and didn't get back to him. I had to get out of bed, go and put him back inside. Anyway, when you see that and when you hear Pendlebury and when you hear Dangerfield and all the big stars saying they're desperate to play, well, the rest follow, Wisp.
They do. They do. And when you see all those names at your disposal to pick a team, there's some fine talent out there. Some stories coming through about Holden's on the speckle text. Can you read that one? The best Holden story. Andrew Bogut.
Signed his first big NBA contract for $84 million. The first luxury item he bought was not a Ferrari, but a late model Monaro. If that is true, I don't know. I have no reason not to believe it is. That is absolutely sensational. Hey, final word for me on Stacey Livingston and Taylor Harris. So, Stacey,
you're going to have the final word on it.
Well, for me.
Right.
Anyone can talk about it. But Stacey's rung and apologised. Taylor said, great.
Mm.
Taylor rocks up at training yesterday. All the cameras are there. I'm over it. This is a storm in a teacup. This has been whatever she said.
Mm.
But she tweeted, a lion never loses sleep over the opinion of sheep.
She tweeted that earlier.
She tweeted that. That is a great saying.
Crafted.
So, in other words, she's saying, listen, Stacey, I'm the big dog. You're not. I'm not worried what you've got to say. But when she came before the cameras, blown out of proportion. Good. Anyway, good. What did you think of the Melbourne Footy Club here? Put out this strategic plan, Demons Plan, flag by 2023. We're going to talk to Gary Pird. He'll come in at 7 o'clock. And tell us exactly what it is. So they want to play finals. AFL and AFLW play finals every year for the next 4 years and have at least a flag in those four-year period for the men and the women. They want 75,000 members, I think, and to eliminate all debt.
Mm. When I heard that they were putting out a strategic plan, I thought it might have been like a five-year vision for the club or something. So it's not as ambitious as I thought it was going to be. It's about 2020 to 2023, so it's a three-year plan.
The interesting thing for me in that is they're going to have a home base that it will be within walking distance to the MCG. So we'll ask Gary Pert where that's going to be because...
where is that now?
It's not. Well, their home base is at Melbourne Park, but they're saying they're going to develop.
They're going to build one.
Their own, yes.
In the next 3 years.
Yeah, so remember they made...
That's ambitious.
...overtures to the council that they wanted to have it out in the parkland.
Yeah, above up near the Hilton.
Australia, what's your favourite sport?
Football.
Snack.
Pies.
Animal.
Kangaroos.
And what's your favourite car, Australia?
Holden.
Let me see, that's football, meat pies, kangaroos and Holden cars, huh?
Right.
Well, you sure sound like Australia to me.
We are.
Well, then you better tell me again, because I just might forget.
We love football, meat pies, kangaroos and Holden cars.
There you go. That might just sum Vander up, Tim. Your great teammate, Paul Vanderhaar. Football, meat pies, kangaroos and Holden cars. I don't know about the kangaroos, but I reckon the other three would have got a run. He joins us on the line. G'day, Vander.
Hey, guys. How
are
you doing?
We're going very nicely. We're just reminiscing about the mighty Holden cars of yesteryear, and Tim said my old teammate, Paul Vanderhaar, had a magnificent panel van at one stage. What are your memories of it?
Fun time driving it, but a bit hard to drive it nowadays. You got cars, cruise control, and hands-free talking. But back then, you had to had three pedals on it, and he used one as a clutch.
Hey, Vander, when I think about your car, the first thing that comes to mind are the beer cans that have been hollowed out with the tachometers in them on the dashboard. Whose idea was that?
I don't know. I think it was a bit of an inventive thing by myself. I don't know why I did it, but it's held its name for a while. So, it's a bit ridiculous with the four beer cans on the dashboard and having an oil and temperature gauge and all the clock in it. The big VB can is the taco on the steering wheel.
I'm surprised that didn't take off.
Only got pulled over a couple of times, so not too bad.
And was it like a four on the floor job?
Was three on the gear on the lever
on the tree. Three on the tree.
Three on the tree, I put the floor shift in it and put a set of mags on it, exhaust, and got the motor twin carbies, done all that work on it, but. It was all a bit of a learning experience.
Did you get that panel van to come to Essendon back in 1977? Did the club pay for that, or did you already have it?
No, I bought it off my father. It was one of the old work panel vans, so it smelled of chlorine and acid and all the chemicals. And it was a 1968, and I got my license in 77. But it done its work in the pool industry with chemicals and so forth, so it's a bit rusted out. But I resprayed it and put flare guards on it. Done a fair bit of work on it, but that was a good looking rig, wasn't it, too?
That was magnificent.
What sort of setup did you have running in the back, Vander?
Just a mattress. Took Tim up to his hometown when he's a young bloke. When he came down, it was like a bassinet in the back of the car.
Were you his chauffeur? Did you have to drive him around? Because we know he debuted when he was about 14. Were you sort of his designated driver?
I got nominated to take him up to Dimboola and see the family. So took him up in the van, and I don't think his mum was too impressed about it, seeing what sort of lifestyle goes on in Melbourne.
Well, you used to drive me around a lot in that panel van, Vander. So we did a lot of miles in that van together.
Yeah. Well, you can upgrade and take me out. You can drive somewhere nowadays.
Well, I'd be happy to. Somebody also sent a text in saying that you had a Monaro at one stage too. Did you have a Monaro?
Yellow one.
Yeah, no, I sold the panel van and got bugger all for that. And, after my first year contract of making about $1,500, I thought I'd go out and buy a Monaro. So I bought a two-door HJ Monaro with a big V8 in it. So I have done a few Holdens, had a work jet, which was a HQ Holden that was a six-wheeler and a tipper. So I've had a few of the Holden cars over the years.
On the hunt again for an old panel van or not? Have you decided not to do that?
I seen one a couple of years ago in a farmhouse, same colour. I sprayed it in a iridescent blue, and I seen one in a farm shed a couple of years ago, and I'm thinking now that I might go and track him down and see if he wants to do a deal. And I might cut it in half and put it in the man shed and have the panel van in the back and motor in front.
What would that car be worth today if you had held on to it, Vander? Would it have appreciated in value?
I would think so, yeah. Panel vans now. Actually, I know a guy who's got a Sandman and it's worth a bit of dough. So, yeah, probably would be worth a bit. But it'd be nice to still have it as a bit of a reminiscence, eh? Bit of fun in that over the years.
Yeah, and I was telling Gary about the time we went to Darwin many years ago and to the drive-in, and you put me out of the car onto the concrete.
What happened? Hang on, stop.
With the speaker.
What happened, Vander?
No.
Hang on, like you went into the door and you ended up sitting on the gravel with a speaker next to your ear.
I think I was sweating too much. He said you get outside, there's a bit more air out there for you.
Tim had to learn a few things in those days.
That's enough. I was trying to remember what sort of a car Kenny Mansfield had back in the day too. I thought he had a little Holden station wagon too, Vander.
That would have been stolen, wouldn't it? No, I can't remember what Mans had. He'd been an electrician. He might have had one of those set ups too, yeah.
And you're on your way down to Red Hill to finish off a pool today?
Yeah, it's pouring rain on the way down here, but work through that. It's like playing footy on a wet day. You got to go ahead and do it.
Yep.
It's a nice, easy cruise down the highway nowadays. And cruise control, the radio going, and better than changing gears and going down the old Muraduck Highway. So there was an old single lane highway road then.
And you would have been cruising down in that blue panel van, and maybe you would have had to put Tim outside again, depending on how things unfolded. Hey, Vander, we love having a chat with you, and always good to walk down memory lane. And what's the name of the pool business? Give it a plug.
Four Seasons Spas and Pools.
Four Seasons Spas and Pools. How long have you been doing that?
All my life. My father was one of the original pool builders in Melbourne, so as a kid I worked through with him, and now my son Todd's working with us, and hopefully he takes it over very shortly.
Absolutely sensational. Four Seasons and Pools and Spas, so that's the place to go. Hey, thanks for jumping on. Drive carefully in that rain.
No worries, boys. All right, good to catch up.
Go on,
you, Vander. Paul Vander Haar, former Essendon superstar. I've been the beneficiary of Tim telling me some great Vander stories, and that is just sensational. Here's a text from the Speckle text. My sisters went down to Melbourne Union's Good Country Girls late 70s. They said the Essendon boys were rascals and Vander was the king of rascals.
He was a rascal.
Does that sound right, Wiz?
He was a rascal.
Kenny Mansfield had a green EH Holden.
I knew it was a Holden. I knew he had a Holden. I don't think it was stolen. I don't think it was stolen. It may have been, but I don't think it was.
I dropped Vander home one night. I'm going to read this first.
Yep. Is it okay to read or
in
not?
The early, as he unsuccessfully tried to get into the Croydon Hotel nightclub wearing footy shorts. Does that sound like your man?
It sounds like him.
How good a player was he?
He was a great player. Can you imagine in 1977?
I remember him.
An 18-year-old with these long, flowing blonde locks, and he just played in this really natural, instinctive way. He was spectacular.
He burst onto the scene now as that 18-year-old with the long hair, playing centre-half forward, centre-half back, taking hangers. He'd be the most marketable player in the competition.
In the land, he'd be the most marketable player.
Jeez.
And then at the end of that first, I'm pretty sure it was the end of the first year he had the motorbike accident. So at one stage, he wore a neck brace for a long time. It looked like it looked really serious when he first had the accident. And then he came good in that second year. And I think he even played for Victoria. I think he got picked to play for Victoria in his second year.
Yeah. Well, that wouldn't surprise.
Remember that mark? There was that mark that he took on.
His neck.
Did a somersault.
Did a Scorpio. I think they call it a Scorpion these days. Hey, that's a great chat. We're coming up to the 7 o'clock news. Back page of the Age Today, Demons Plan, flag by 2023. So Melbourne have put out their strategic plan. Their CEO, Gary Peart, has been the author of that amongst other people at that footy club. And we'll chat. Great to have you with us from the cafe, our official coffee partner. We've got Liam Pickering in from 8, but right now we've got the CEO of the Melbourne Footy Club, Gary Peart, in the studio. Annual general meeting last night, and Melbourne have released the red and blue print and the goals for 2020 to 2023. So in a four-year period to play AFL and AFLW finals each year and win at least one AFL and one AFLW flag. Eliminate debt, 75,000 members, so 52,000 at the moment. So you want to increase that, and average home crowds of around 50,000, amongst other things. Purdy, welcome.
Hey, Gaz, Tim.
Realistic. It didn't seem outlandish. I remember when Benny Gale put his out, the 75,000 and the premiership and all that, so we all sort of half giggled and laughed behind our hand, but they got there and they're now the power club. So what was the motivation for this?
Well, I would say it's ambitious. It's uncomfortable. It's certainly not the club sitting back going, this is where we see ourselves and this is going to be a walk in the park. This is going to be a huge challenge for the club. Playing in four final series in a row really sets up an era of success, which is what we talk about as a club. And the reason why we've come out and talked about it is, while this is an internal vision that we've been working on for a while, is I think during tough times, and last year was a tough time and what we put our supporters through, I think you've got to be even more transparent at that stage to say, this is what we're working on, this is the club we're creating. You talk about those goals, playing in finals and winning a premiership, that's what will drive us to be able to generate 75,000 members. And I know, I've no doubt we'll get to that point. And then the money comes in and you can pay down your debt and you've got money to invest in your facilities. And all of a sudden the whole club starts to gain momentum. And that's certainly what we talked about last night.
You said uncomfortable. Why uncomfortable?
Well, because there's 17 other teams, elite teams. This is a brutal, ruthless competition. And why we sit down and map out our plans, we've got 17 other teams that have got similar plans, and the maths just don't work. At the end of the day, there's only going to be eight teams playing in the finals, and getting to a grand final and winning a premiership in the competition, which is so close at the moment, means that every player's got to be fit, playing at their best. The coaches have got to have a game style that stands up to finals footy. The club's got to be able to provide elite facilities for our players to compete against these other teams, and the bigger clubs like the West Coast and these other clubs, the facilities they've got compared to what we've got are at a whole different level.
You know, when you come out publicly and say, OK, we're going to win a flag in the next 4 years, is that effectively putting your current day coach on notice as well? Do you bring him along with this vision that you've articulated this morning?
Yeah, Goody and the leaders of the footy club are certainly across anything that we talk about. They've been part of building this. I wouldn't even talk about the head coach. I would say everyone at the club, every single person on and off the field, what we're saying, this is what our ambitions look like, this is what our vision looks like, and we all play a role in that space. But certainly the footy department, and I think everyone around the club, is actually saying, we've got the longest premiership drought of any club in the competition. We need to be playing in finals. If we want to be the biggest, best version of ourselves as a club, got to play finals footy. We've got to win a premiership, and let's set that. And so every decision that we make on and off the field leading into that is about that on-field success.
So how can you trust this side to play finals every year for the next 4 years, given they played a final series 2 years ago and didn't handle it at all well, and you know, the backside dropped out of the joint and they finished 16th after a preliminary final?
Well, when we say they didn't handle it that well, I think they got to a point where they were up against a team that was at a different level. And
consequently. So they handled their final series okay. They got to a prelim beyond expectations, and then they dropped the following year.
Yeah.
How can you trust them?
Yeah, look, I think in a lot of ways there was a whole lot of contributing factors that, you know, last year we went through, and in our postseason review we articulated to everyone. But a big key driver of that is that we didn't have a team that was prepared and fit leading into the season, and we couldn't get that team settled and fit again throughout the entire season. At no point, we had an all-time record amount of games lost through injuries to our key players. And so we never at any stage during the year got momentum. So I don't think it was as simple as a fit team that should have played better that just didn't handle the situation. I think we struggled to put together a top team for the whole season.
Part of this plan, have you got an established idea about a home for the Melbourne Football Club? Because that has been a concern over the years for the club as well.
Yeah, because the on-field's one part of the plan. I think we're trying to really set a vision where the club is the best version of itself, and we haven't had football and administration together in a home base with a social club like every other club. We haven't had that in recent history, and we're very close to that.
And that's become really important for football clubs. You talk about all the clubs now that do new facilities, and they talk about the fact that they design them in a way that, you know, players have to walk past administration staff, so everybody has a real understanding of what it is that they belong to and what they represent. So, I mean, that's been missing from Melbourne for a long time.
Tim, I got there in 84. We haven't had a home.
That's
since
right.
1984.
That's right.
Wandering and sort of aimlessly through the ether. At least they're in a precinct now where it's close to the heartland. So what can you tell the Melbourne supporters from that point of view.
And Gary, we do a lot of work to keep that one club culture going. But like you said, when it's a 10-minute walk between football and administration, it's very difficult and it's not reflective of the other elite facilities of the other clubs. So we're working with the state government, the AFL, who are all equally committed. The state government fund the feasibility exercise or into the second phase of that. It's progressing really well. And we're committed to actually come up with a home base within walking distance of the MCG where we play our home games, create that heart and soul of a club, bring the whole club together, a social club that our supporters before and after a game can move between our social club and the MCG. This is about creating the Melbourne Football Club in our vision to go. This is what we've got to look like for the next 50 years.
So committed to doing it. So there was a feasibility study put out on the north side of the MCG, which is up near the Hilton end of it. That is not going to take place?
No, look, I think there is probably some factors of merit there, potentially building over the top of the train line. But once you get into that parkland, I think it was always going to be difficult to put an oval in a sloping parkland like that. It's pretty sensitive, valuable ground. I would say it's probably going to be still the exercise we're looking at is we're looking at three or four different sites. But again, the most important thing is they're walking distance of the MCG, and that's certainly progressing well.
Long way to go, given where the club finished this year, to a premiership. Are you confident that you're going to be able to deliver this vision over the next 4 years?
Well, we're saying a premiership in the next 4 years. It's important that we're back playing in the finals. We've got to prove, and this is what's going to be up to us, every single person at the club, is what we've got to prove is last year, the reasons that we articulated about why we only won five games and didn't deliver and disappointed our supporters, those reasons were really valid, and that's not a reflection of the talent and the coaches and our programs. And that's got to be proven from the first game this year.
Are you satisfied that that brutal internalisation of what took place last year has taken place at your football club? I mean, have you turned the place upside down after the answers or searching for those answers?
Well, I'm very happy with the makeup of our player group, our coaches, our support staff. Darren Burgess has been fantastic from day one. When I talk to the players about the impact and his philosophies and the preparation and the work we've done, which is at an intensity level that we've never, ever done before, that pretty well all the players are saying they're the fittest they've ever been. We certainly don't have...
We hear that all the time, though, from players.
And I think that's all you can do is prepare yourself like that. But you got to know that across town and interstate, every other club's doing the same. We get that. And a lot of this becomes talk until you get out on the ground and you actually start playing and showing your supporters, we have made the right decisions, we've got the right people in place, and everything is talk until then. And we get that. But as I sit here now and I look at the people and the programs we've got in place, I'm very comfortable that we've done all the work to set ourselves up for this year.
So you talked about injuries, and look, a lot of people say that's excuses and that, you know, this doco, there's a lot of talk coming out of Melbourne, which is fair enough. It is, then you've got to back it up. So these are some of the names that have come off this text message: McDonald, Gorn, Proust, May, Kolodziejczyk, Wagner, Bennell, Brayshaw, Hannon, Vanderberg. So injuries again at this stage of the pre-season. What can you tell us from an update point of view there?
Well, I can tell you that not all those players are going to miss the first game. So in this period of time, as we intensify the training, we've got some players like a Kolodziejczyk and a Vandenberg who basically didn't play last year that they're preparing. So Vandenberg, for example, it's a very slow burn. We want to get him right for the early part of the season. We don't want to push his program, but we're really happy where he's at. Harley Bunnell, we took him on board, and he's going to be a risk. But
May,
if we get half a dozen games out of him, he'll be fantastic. May had a bit of a hiccup, but not a major injury, but it'll take a little bit of time. He'll be ready for the first game or shortly into the season. And Gorney's already back running, and he'll be fine for the first game.
If we use Richmond as an example, because they did a very similar thing, and it was a really ambitious strategic plan that they put out publicly, and then they've been able to deliver on that. Leadership is so important at CEO level, at coach level, at captain level. Right now, do you believe you've... And Richmond had a great leader there in Trent Cotchin, who's able to drive the on-field success for the team. Do you believe, and you're about to name another captain for the club at some stage during this pre-season, do you believe you've got the right calibre of leadership there at Melbourne right now?
Yeah, I do. Off-field, I think we've definitely got the right people in place. And on-field, the leadership group, it really doesn't come down to the central captain or co-captains. The leadership group now that we've got is far more mature and far more ready, and we've brought some key, more experienced players in. So I think the on-field leadership is there. But they've also got to be players that are fit and out on the ground. Last year, we had a lot of our leaders off the ground, and that does have an impact as well.
So Max Gawn's currently injured. Would that mean that he's disqualified from possibly being the captain of Melbourne this year?
Well, Gawn will be back for the first game.
Right.
And the players will work through nominating who they want as their captain and leader and the whole leadership group. But I think we've seen Gawn evolve over the last couple of years from a young guy that was worried just about getting himself right in his own performance. Now, I think he's one of certainly the great leaders down the club, on and off the field, and he'll well and truly be in the mix.
Purdy, as we let you go, I want you to answer this question from Cheryl, and we appreciate you coming in. I've been a member for 30 years, just rolling out the same old story which won't be delivered. I'm sick of hearing about it, just get it done. Can you answer that for Cheryl?
Well, I think it's valid because I think Melbourne supporters for the last 30 years have gone, I haven't seen a period of sustained performance. And so when we paint a vision there and I want to be in 5 years' time looking back saying we delivered all those aspects, and I can guarantee Cheryl and every other Melbourne supporter all go, great, that's what we want. But I can understand as we present this, we know we open ourselves up by putting it out on the website for Cheryl and a lot of other Melbourne supporters to go, that hasn't been delivered for so long by the Melbourne Football Club. It's question marks all over it. At the same time, I hope that they look at it and go, that's what our leaders are trying to create, leaders on and off the field. And like I said, I hope I'm back here in 5 years' time saying we delivered all those elements. And if we have, Melbourne's a different club. It's a powerhouse club.
And the good thing is you're going to be held to account. So yep. It's out there and you're held to account. Thanks for coming in. Good luck.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Peter.
Joining us in the studio. We'll be back. We might discuss that and the Ross Lyon situation after this.